Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, Pat Chat Edition. I'm Violet.
And I'm Pat.
We make these videos because Patrick finds videos and articles online that we find interesting. And we want to go through them because we think that if you find this kind of information, could lead you astray or sometimes lead you in a good direction, mm-hmm. as was last week's situation.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about another topic that I have no idea about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let Patrick start talking now.
But like it's a somewhat positive, even though the title like says maybe the opposite. But like we're talking about six signs your keto obsession has spiraled into an eating disorder. So pushing keto a little bit too far. So there's another like psychological aspect.
I don't know if there's an underlying like dig at me coming here, but okay.
So I want to start with the definition of the word orthorexia. So it was first coined in 1998. Orthorexia is classified as a type of eating disorder alongside anorexia and bulimia, and includes symptoms of obsessive behavior such as anxiety and stress in pursuit of a healthy diet, in this case the keto diet. So six signs that you're maybe pushing it a little bit too far, and basically you're stressing yourself with your diet.
Okay.
One sign is that whole foods take a back seat, so you can eat your macros. So basically, you want to meet so much your macros that you're leaving a little bit like the whole food and the good food in favor of like bars and like all those other food that are maybe less.
Basically, the idea being that people who would eat a bar, or people that might, instead of eating a food, might have, like, let's say, a keto coffee because of the amount of
oh my God, I don't have my fats.
The fats. Like, but also, like, the fact that there's not a lot of carbs, so, right? Like, so they're going to have a keto coffee, and especially if they don't use any kind of cream, if they just use oil, then there's no carbs there. Mm. And so I'm kind of getting energy in without actually eating any food.
Yeah, but the thing is it, like, my question would be, is it such a bad thing that you don't meet your number of grams of fat, for example, by 22 grams one day? That's more like the idea of the, and then I'm going to absolutely have to have a bulletproof coffee to absolutely meet that number of grams.
Well, but that's not the way I took that first one. I took it to mean, for example, that I'm trying to keep my grams of carbs low. So what I'm doing is I'm eating, like, let's say I might have my meat. And if I feel hungry later, instead of actually having some food, I'm just going to have a bulletproof coffee. And so, like, I'm not actually giving myself any building blocks for my body, right? Like, I might have had a little bit of meat or a little, but, like, I'm not really, you know, if I have a bar because the bar is having those perfect macros, but what's actually making up the bar is not the right kind of protein. So, like, I'm trading correct macros for healthy building blocks to build me. And if you're doing that, yes, I would agree that that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. That's going to harm you in the long run. You know, I have no problem with people using bars as a treat. I have no problem with people using coffees to make up the extra, but you still need food. You need real food.
Yeah, I know. But like the idea is like, when it becomes so obsessive, or you become obsessive, but is it a big deal that you one day you don't meet exactly your right number?
It's not a big deal if it's one day, but you need to understand they're talking about people who have an eating disorder, which means that this is not one day. This is every day they're doing this kind of behavior. So they're going for a bar, or they're going for a keto coffee, or they're going for like a fat bomb. Overeating a piece of meat with some vegetables. That's what they're doing. And yes, that's very harmful. Don't do that. Please don't do that. That is actually very harmful, because now what you're doing is you're building your body on processed foods rather than building your body on whole foods. Mm-hmm. That's very dangerous.
Another sign, so you are not eating enough so you can meet your macros. So, for example, let me see. Yeah, basically doing a calorie deficit, but like just to be able to meet your macros. So, for example, if you had your 20 grams of carbs because you had like this vegetable or that vegetable, not eating for the rest of the day because you don't want to go over your carb. So basically under eating, so you meet your macros again because you attained your number of proteins or number of fats or number of carbs.
So I would say that probably in the obsession to try to stick to the diet correctly, and I'm putting diet because that's what they're doing now, they're dieting. In their obsession to try to stick to the diet, what they're actually doing is misunderstanding the diet. So they're, because if you're eating a vegetable that's taking up all of your carbs for the day and you haven't finished eating for the day, you're eating the wrong food. And so like right away, it makes me believe that you don't quite understand what you're doing. The problem is that I could see that happening to someone and they not have orthorexia because it's about that one to me is more about misunderstanding what you're doing. Right. However, I will say that if on one particular day, so again, is it all the time? Yeah, you're in trouble. But if on one particular day, no, let me back up. What I would say is you shouldn't be even looking at calories. So again, you're not doing keto properly. If you're doing this and you're looking at calories, you're making some kind of error. Mm-hmm. Keto is not about calories. Keto is about carbohydrate number being under 20 grams of carbs per day, period. How much fat you eat and how much protein you eat is a pivot. It's not a goal. Usually, if you're eating normally and eating to satiation, not to fullness, not to not full enough, to satiation, where I eat and then I don't and I feel okay, the amount of protein and fat that you eat is going to be moderate. And you don't need to count the calories in that story. Your body does not understand calories. It understands hungry versus not hungry.
Another sign, if like meals trigger anxiety, especially in social meetings, like social settings. So like
I'm saying is that for that specific one, I think that that's normal to all eating disorders. And, you know, if you actually have an eating disorder, then you're likely going to have that element. Is there something...
In any case, what I want to add is like probably like 98% of restaurants have a Caesar salad on their menu. So just go out with your colleagues, with your friend and have a Caesar salad and you're going to be fine. I mean, there's nothing like really to be anxious about. Like,
I would say have a Caesar salad.
Unless they go to McDonald's, that's another story.
But I would say have a Caesar salad with some meat.
Yeah, with some meat. Yeah, chicken Caesar salad.
Yeah.
So there's nothing really to feel anxious.
But it's not about that. Again, I'm going to back up for you because you're saying there's nothing to feel anxious. You can't tell someone what to feel anxious about. I feel like that particular example is not specific to this eating disorder. All the eating disorders have that as a symptom. So, like, I mean, they're putting it in there, and I'm just saying it's normal, though. If you have an eating disorder, you are going to feel anxious when you eat food around people. That's what happens. And so, like, I don't really feel like that's keto specific. That's why I'm not really commenting on it.
Okay. What about you obsessively think about keto? Like, you're thinking about keto all the time, especially your next meal and what I'm going to eat next and next and next day and next day and... Like some people like stress about like your...
Yeah, I think that what's interesting there is that at the beginning of a ketogenic lifestyle, I feel like most people might look like they're obsessing about what they're going to eat because they're worried, nervous, which is not anxious. It's just normal to be worried or nervous because you're trying to fit it in. I do feel, again, it's one of those situations where it's normal in any... eating disorder that people behave that way about food. So bulimics and anorexics are constantly thinking about food as part of the disorder. So I would imagine in orthorexia, yes, it's going to be the same situation. However, I feel like in a keto situation, it could look like that because you do start off kind of wondering, like you said, I'm going to this restaurant. Oh my God, I hope they're going to have something. You know what? It takes months. I wouldn't say years. It takes months to get to the point where you just know you're going to go and you're going to find something. Right. And you know, I will put it out there to even say that seasoned people who have done keto for years, the example I'm going to give you right now is very recently I watched an episode of Keto Savage, and he and his wife went out to eat and went to a restaurant, ordered a meal and had to leave because everything on the menu, unbeknownst to them, had a sugary sauce on it. So even the best of us, it could happen, right? But it's like, I feel like for each person, you're going to take your decision. right? Have I ever gone to a restaurant, ordered something, and then found out that was, there was, I think what mine, it was flour that was on it. Yeah. And you know what? I took a decision that day. Am I going to eat this? And then, you know, like I looked at, I pulled up my calculator. I looked it up. Mm. I put in all my numbers and I was able to fit it in. So I did. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to find something. So I do think most people start there where they're worried. Well, how am I going to find? What am I going to eat? You're going to go to a friend's house. Oh, they're going to have something for me. Yeah, we all start there. But eventually you get comfortable and you get confident. And there's another little element that plays into the role that we don't always think about. Today, I can go somewhere. And if I really don't see anything on the menu that I want to eat, I just won't eat. Right? I do have that ability today that I can just skip a meal. Right? And I feel like, so, and that might come up later as one of the things, but but I'm just saying that I do see where in the beginning it could look like that. It could look like that. It doesn't necessarily mean automatically that that's an eating disorder. And I would really encourage the other psychologists out there to really be cautious about calling that initial worry, like, you know, calling that anxious. Because most people have it.
But I, what I would like to add to that, like, is a lot of, especially newcomers to the keto, like, diet world, they do see keto as very complicated. And as a matter of fact, it's not at all. Like, once you get to, like, knowing what you can eat, like, you just have some basic stuff, like, in the kitchen, and you can just throw a salad, some eggs, and a piece of meat, or and you have a keto meal without being very, very complicated and without being very long. So we already spoke about that. Don't try at the beginning to replace what you used to eat on the standard American diet. And I have a colleague at work that did that thing where it lasted like 2 days, because from the beginning he tried to replace the bagel he was eating in the morning, the bread he was eating at lunch, and since they were not, like, I think to a point where they tuned their recipes correctly, like, it wasn't tasting good, but like they did it wrong, basically.
But you have to also keep it in mind that when you first try to replace, it's not going to taste good, because you're so used to what that tastes like that this is not going to taste right to you, and you're not going to want to eat it.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like that's the other part of the story, is like, if you're used to eating bagels from the corner specialty shop, and then you make a keto bagel, it's not going to taste
the same.
No, even bread doesn't taste the same. Like, I am a year and a half away from, more than that probably, because I don't really like bread that much, but I'm about a year and a half away from the last time I had store-bought bread. And every time I have any kind of keto bread, I still know it doesn't taste right. And I'm a year and a half away from the last time I ate real bread. Because why? Because my brain, my memory is good. And I know what real bread's supposed to taste like. It's part of the reason that I don't chase keto snacks. And I don't chase, like, because I know, I still remember what those things taste like. So me eating, you know, whatever else, anything that else you could replace, a keto cracker, a keto, I'm going to taste it and I know it's not going to taste right. So I don't bother. But the people who do, they become disappointed.
Okay, and last sign. I think I might be a little bit guilty.
We're the last one already.
Right? Yeah. But there's more to the article after. Like, how to do, like,
okay, last sign.
So last sign, you might be a little bit guilty of that, but, like, not that much. But you silently judge other for eating carbs. So, like, in like, you find that people are not, like, right eating carbs. Like, you're judging people basically because they eat carbs. So if you come to that, like,
I think in the beginning,
it start to be
okay. I think in the beginning, again, it's normal that people would do that. So I do think that most of us want everyone around us to be healthy, and so we kind of judge them because we want them to do better. But you're right. It's like, it could come across like you're just so afraid to eat that thing that you're judging them as wrong. Which is, again, when you look at anorexics, because they're one of the ones that tend to do that behavior, you know, like they're disgusted by people eating and like they can have that kind of an attitude. But it's not the same thing, because they're disgusted because they think that everything you eat is going to make you fat. I think that most people in a ketogenic lifestyle are just worried that people who eat carbs are not going to live the life that they could be living, especially when it's a family member. You want them to live forever, right? So it's hard for you to watch them eating stuff that you know is going to harm them in the long run. So if you're doing it in the sense that you're obsessively watching people and saying, oh, you shouldn't eat that, you should, it kind of, I mean, we're getting to that keto police kind of situation. If you're doing that, I really feel like, yeah, that might be going too far. My suggestion is that people should take an internal thermometer. Why am I frustrated by that? Because if it's because you love the person, rather than judging them for how they're eating, you should just try to be the good example. And you know what? They're going to see you eating the way you're eating. They're going to see long term that you keep with it and you're still doing it and you're happy and healthy. And eventually they might come on board. But yeah, I can understand why that they would say that that might be a sign of orthorexia, because it is something that for sure you see anorexics do. And it's not a great way to interact in the world.
Okay, so the following of the article is like, so does this mean that keto is a bad idea? So of course not. Like, so basically I'm going to read it. So what do I have a problem with though is how the ketogenic diet is often done today. And we have like bad examples, and we already talked about like, you know, the
DNA. Well, how are they saying it's being done today?
So yeah, we're going to come to that in a second. So, okay. And this one you'll like, because like, so no matter how we choose to eat, we have to make sure we really have like nailed the why and the how. I think you in your video, you always like, you often speak about the why and also why you're doing it and how you're doing it are two really key factors of the keto diet.
100%. I think that your reason for changing your way of eating is going to determine the longevity of whatever you're doing. So people who want to lose weight, and if that's your only reason, the longevity of what you're doing might not be stable, because as soon as I hit my weight, I have no longer a reason to eat the way that I'm eating. So unless along the way of losing the weight, I learned to love this, I'm not going to continue. And what's interesting about keto is that if I'm doing keto in the way that I'm using a lot of those replacement foods, the chance that I actually learn to love what I'm doing is not very high, right? Because like I said, one, if I'm eating those replacement foods, that means I'm still chasing standard American diet. But two, those replacement foods don't taste as good as the real thing, and I'm still going to be kind of craving that real thing. And at some point, I might give in and eat that real thing.
Listen to how she's good. So basically the next paragraph starts with, jumping into a new diet when you have an unhealthy relationship with your food or your body is not a good idea. So
of course not. I agree.
Just what you said. So I'm not sure if like the other is a doctor or psychologist or both, but like they didn't say, but like, as like the other always says, like, you can't heal a body you hate. So,
you know, I agree with that. I'm always telling people, when you're starting, like when people tell me that they want to lose weight, my first thing is always, you need to like where you are right now so that you can improve on it. But if I don't like the body that I'm in, how can I improve it? Every time I look in the mirror, all I'm going to be trying to do is to get away from that. And of course, if my goal is negative, so I'm trying to get away from this body that I'm in, my negative emotions are going to show themselves. And where do they normally show themselves? In emotional eating. And so you end up in this trap where, because you hate your body, you end up eating things to make yourself feel better. And
so your reasoning for going keto should not be to punish your body or to fix things you don't like, but rather it should ideally come from a place with love and desire, and to fuel your body with the right tools it needs to become like better. So you always like,
excellent. I love this word. Yeah, this is going.
So maybe we can put the link to the article like in the bottom there. So one of the main things you can do to help ensure your keto diet doesn't evolve into an obsession is this: shift your focus away from hitting specific macronutrients numbers, and tune in into how you feel.
So I partially agree with that. So the thing that I feel like people would benefit from is allowing themselves to see that what makes keto work is taking your 20, your grams of carbs down to 20 or less. That's the only number that you need to be somewhat concerned about, in the sense that if I let my grams of carbs a little too high, I could potentially start burning carbs again instead of fat. everything else, like I said, is a pivot. If I just eat to satiation, so this is where I talk about, where I agree with him, how you feel. I keep my carbs low and then I eat to satiation. So what's going to end up happening is that in order for me to do both those things, carbs low, eat to satiation, I'm going to start to realize that the vegetables and salads that I'm eating here alongside of healthy fat and protein is going to, so rather than rising this, which is what most people do, a low fat diet is a bunch of salad and like, right. Yeah. And a little bit of fat, but then we don't realize that these carbs are what's hurting us. What we do is that we keep our salad level. And you know what? You can eat so much salad and so much low glycemic vegetables. Yeah. Like it's crazy to me how much you can actually eat and still be under 20 grams of carbs per day. Like, when Dr. Berg tells you that you can eat 7 to 10 cups of vegetables and salad, he's not joking. You actually can if all of your carbs are coming from salad and vegetables, you actually can eat 7 to 10 cups and still be under 20 grams of carbs per day. So with that being said, the pivot becomes how much protein and fat am I eating? And so if I eat a normal amount, which means, think back to before you started this diet, as long as you weren't being extremely small on the amount of protein that you were eating, if you're eating a normal amount for your body, and we can calculate that number, although again, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I always tell people, before I did keto, I ate one chicken leg for supper. And after doing keto, I eat one chicken leg for supper, the thigh and the leg. I did that before keto. I do that after keto. I was eating keto, I ate, for example, one pork chop, approximately 5 to 7 ounces. And after keto, one pork chop, approximately 5 to 7 ounces. Like, none of the meats changed. The only thing that changed, I'm allowing myself to eat the fat that was on that pork chop. I'm allowing myself to eat the skin or the fat that was on the chicken. That's the only thing that changed. Like, the size of the portion didn't change. So I feel like the thing that I'm trying to help people to understand is that if you pay attention to your carb number, that's one number, not how much you weigh on the scale,
not getting exactly the number of grams of fat.
Getting the exact number of grams of carbs. Yeah. If it's 20 or less, you are fine. Mm-hmm. If today I got 5 and that's all I was hungry to eat, that's fine. If today I got 19, that's fine. If one day I'm at 22, it's not going to be the end of the world. Mm. Right? It's really about, over time, making sure that I'm aiming for 20 or less, right? And the more that you do it, the easier it becomes and the less you have to weigh everything once you know your serving sizes. But I do agree with him that if you are more paying attention to, and now I'm not hungry anymore, not I'm full, I stop eating when I'm not hungry anymore. So if I eat to satiation rather than fullness, everything's gonna be fine.
Okay, in conclusion, a quick how-to, like 7-8 points, you can come and then you can comment.
How to do keto?
How to do keto. Like, so basically, eat real food.
I absolutely agree.
Like, no bars, or try to avoid the bars and all the processed stuff.
Real food, no matter what diet you're doing. If you're doing paleo, if you're doing keto, if you're doing low carb, if you're doing vegetarian, eat real food, goddammit.
Yeah. don't fear the vegetables. We just like talk.
Don't what?
Don't fear the vegetables. We just talk.
Yeah, like, just low glycemic vegetables.
Keep your carbs low.
Absolutely. 20 grams or less.
Healthy fats high. And healthy is important here. Like the fats from the meat, the good oils.
Disagree.
It should be the most of your, like, it still should be the most of your daily intake.
Healthy fats, moderate. Not high. Moderate.
Okay.
If you add extra fat, you will end up gaining weight. Healthy fats, moderate.
Yeah. Eat when you're hungry.
Yes. Stop when you're satiated.
And stop when you're satiated. Hey,
you know what? Okay. Was that the last one?
Yeah. So that's all I got.
Perfect. So you know what? Actually, I enjoyed that article. Yeah. I enjoyed that article. I think that it's interesting to look at an eating disorder and look at keto and see, like, are there possible ways that we might fall into that. I don't think people have to be worried about that though, because if you are coming into a ketogenic lifestyle without an eating disorder, you're not going to magically get an eating disorder because you're doing keto. That's for sure. The thing that I will say though, is that if you do have tendencies towards eating disorders, then you want to be careful for some of the things that this author is talking about, because then that could become an issue for you. As with anything in life, if you're the kind of person that's addicted to alcohol, the chances that you could become addicted to drugs, or could become addicted to food, or could become addicted to sex, like, it's higher, because that indicates that you have an addictive personality. If I'm the kind of person that has disturbed eating tendencies, so, right, like if my eating habits are towards eating disorder, then orthorexia might be something that I want to be more conscious of. Mm-hmm. That being said, a ketogenic lifestyle is a very healthy way to manage your weight, to manage your health.
It's a simple way too.
It can be very simple, if you use real food and just focus on keeping your carbohydrates low. It can be very simple. So I want everyone to do your research. I say this all the time. Do your research. Mm. Do keto in a very healthy way, and you're much more likely to have success. I feel like that was a great article. Mm-hmm. And what was the title?
6 Signs Your Keto Obsession Is As Spiraled Into a Eating Disorder. Eating disorder.
So it's a very interesting article. Mm-hmm. Thank you for finding that. It was very interesting. I want to thank everyone for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, Pat Chat Edition. As I mentioned, I have a Patreon account now. If you'd like to go there, it's a possibility. Violet Rivera is the handle. So Patreon/Violet Rivera. If you'd like to contribute to the future videos, I'd appreciate that. Thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. Please subscribe if you haven't already subscribed, because we love making these videos for you guys, and we can't wait to talk to you in the next video. Okay. Thank you.